This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For some families, Easter isn't just about chocolate. It's also about the Easter bunny. But the Easter bunny is facing a bit of an identity crisis. Yes, from TikTok mums to parenting blogs, we're hearing more stories of families stepping away from the tradition altogether for various reasons. So what happens when kids start asking questions or Googling the truth? And how do we preserve the Easter bunny when the bunny's hopping off into the sunset? Well, joining us now is Associate Professor Katie Wood, clinical psychologist at Swinburne University. Katie, welcome back.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Now, more families seem to be moving away from the Easter bunny tradition. What are some of the reasons that you're hearing behind it?
I think parents might be moving away from the Easter tradition, particularly related to Easter bunny, perhaps because it takes a fair bit of energy and effort to keep it up every year. So it may be a time, a resource, issue that's sort of impacting on families, and it becomes too much for them. So it's possible that they're maybe the main reasons for families to move away, and to keep up the tradition could be seen as, you know, some amount of work.
I loved the Easter bunny as a kid. I suppose what does the Easter bunny represent for kids? Is there some sort of value, I suppose, psychologically in keeping that sort of magical tradition alive?
I think there is. I think there's something quite special if you think about your own childhood. If it was part of that tradition of Easter, it really is sort of preserving the magic of childhood and the joy that comes with those traditions, as well as, I guess it really speaks to supporting children to use their imagination and to continue to do that as long as possible. And I think it's part of that important component of children's development around play and imaginative play. And nowadays, a lot of children are sort of, you know, on screens, and some of that play-based learning and using their imagination has sort of been stripped back. So I really love the traditions of Easter, and it's also, some people sort of talk about it as being part of the storytelling tradition that sort of captures history, and so it becomes a really important ritual for families. So it is one that I really like, and I think if families can preserve it, it's worth preserving, if it works for that family, both from a resource and a cultural perspective.
It's interesting because my family weren't religious at all, but yet we still had the Easter bunny was part of the story that we celebrated as kids, and I loved it. I remember imagining that, you know, Easter bunny must be wrapping up all these chocolate eggs, and how do they do it? How do they carry them? Like, it was just, my imagination was going wild, and I feel like that was almost, you know, part of being a kid was training our imagination to just let it go loose.
Exactly. And I think if you think back now to that time, it sounds to me like your memory of that is one of fondness and joy fun. And it's not harmful, right? There's no harm in that.
No, and colour, with the colour of the wrapping of the eggs, that sparkly sort of thing. If parents do want to, I suppose, stop the tradition, or even if they don't, and kids are getting to an age where perhaps they're questioning the Easter bunny, what's the best way to start breaking the news, that devastating news, that there is no Easter bunny?
Yeah, that might
happen
developmentally.
If you've got kids in the car, this one
It may be, you know, that might start to happen developmentally around 8 or 9. And I guess the first step for parents is just to be really curious with their children around why they're starting to ask the question, and to give them a space to sort to feel okay to ask those questions, and then to be honest in the answer. Because if children have started to ask the question, it's likely that they already sort of know, or have got a sense of knowing, you know, what is the reality. And that's part of children's development as well, to sort of be able to, as they get older, work out the difference between fantasy and reality. And that's a typical developmental task that all children have to go through. And this is just part of that. So being curious, you know, why might you be asking that question? Has someone said something? It's tricky if there's older siblings in the family. So it might be coming from them. It might be coming from the school, you know, kids in the playground. So just start the conversation and be open and honest. And then really give kids the option of to think about, well, how do we still keep the tradition? What would they like to do? Because lots of kids, even as teenagers, still engage in an Easter hunt, right?
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
It's so much fun. Is there any risk in upsetting kids if you don't handle it gently in terms, you know, what if the kid's not ready to find out?
Yeah, I think there is always that risk that the child may not be ready. If the child is asking a question, it would suggest that there is a readiness. But then it's about, if then it's like, oh my goodness, so, you know, they weren't quite ready or they've reacted not in the way that I might have anticipated. It's just providing comfort and saying that this is part of, you know, learning about, you know, what is real. And it doesn't mean that the tradition can't be preserved in some way, but it might just be a different way.
Claire says, we still do the Easter Bunny, but keep it super low key. Just a note and a few eggs. My 9-year-old is starting to get suspicious. That's the age you were talking about, isn't it, Cody?
Yeah, it's around 8 or 9, because that is when they're sort of starting, their brain is more able to sort of work out what's real and what's not. And so it's usually around that age that the questions or the suspicions might come. But some children will work really hard to hold those traditions intact.
Marcus in Fitzroy says,
for as long as they can.
Marcus says, we keep the bunny alive with paw prints and all. I think I'm more into it than the kids. What a cool dad putting paw prints around the house as well. That'd really
paw prints with powder, talcum powder.
I love it.
Or flour.
Jace says, wait, what? There's no Easter bunny. What the heck are you on about? I'm telling mum. I know that's an adult, Jace, so we're not in trouble there.
Yeah.
Pete says, my son Googled it and told me the bunny isn't real. I just said, well, now you're on egg hiding duty.
Yes, that's lovely, isn't it? It's like, okay, so he found his own truth, but the parent was still able to say, okay, but there's still going to be a tradition, and the tradition is you hide the eggs because we're still doing the hunt. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it's all about creating those memories, isn't it? Like you said, I fondly remember the time of finding the eggs.
Yeah, I think it is about creating the memories, creating family rituals. It's a time that families get together and, you know, in many cases it's a time that families get together, and, of course, that's not for all families, but it really is around holding the joy that comes with these traditions.
Katie, great to chat with you. We'll let you go and hide your Easter eggs.
Thank you, Aaron. Lovely to chat again as well.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter. It's Associate Professor Katie Wood, Clinical Psychologist from Swinburne University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.